My life in brief, 9 decades in 9 minutes, plus who knows how much. 1928 to 38, a happy childhood with loving parents, an older sister, and a lovely extended family of grandmas and grandpa, aunties, uncles, and cousins. That and a Christian upbringing was a good start for any child. King's Heath was and is my home area. Mother's side of the family were Unitarian. Father's side were Baptist and had been for 5 generations before me. All lived in Birmingham, which was in early times a haven for non-conformists to work without restriction. My father took Brenda and me alternately to Moseley Baptist Church on Sunday mornings. I sat with him in the middle of the large 4-part choir, between the tenors and altos, sopranos in front, basses behind, and the mighty organ at the back. In the midst of the wonderful music, hymns, psalms, anthems, sung amens, and surrounded by stained glass windows and a devout congregation, I experienced the realization of something greater than this life. I was still a small child, but soon I began to sing with the choir and read the music. We enjoyed family outings on our bicycles to the Licky Hills and elsewhere. We had pets, white mice, a budgie, and guinea pigs. And Father made sure we were good swimmers. We went to brownies, girl guides, and choir practice. In summertime, we loved the garden parties in the spacious grounds of large houses where some church families lived. In 1934, we moved from Haunch Lane to a new house in Elmfield Crescent. Father had been wounded in the First World War when his horse was killed beneath him, and I will never forget the grim faces of all the adults when war was declared again in 1939. My sister was evacuated with her new school. She didn't know a soul, and her first billet was not good. I had a much happier time. My school, the old Moseley National School, did not evacuate, but could not reopen because the classroom fires had to be lit at 6 a.m. to heat the classrooms, and there were no blackout curtains. Mother had a wartime job, and Father was a full-time ARP warden, as well as doing his own work of tuning and repairing pianos. I enjoyed a freedom to go to my grandma's shop, which was an Aladdin's cave of interest to me. The first year of the war was quiet, so the evacuees turned home. Then the raid started. We went to bed in outdoor clothes and slept under our kitchen table. Night after night, the sirens went and we took refuge under the table. On October the 26th, there was a deafening sound, like being under an express train which roared on us as debris fell and 3 houses opposite were blown to bits and our house was badly damaged. We were told to get out immediately. A baby who landed on top of the rubble was given to my mother. She wrapped him in my dressing gown. He died and other neighbours were dead under the rubble. Clothes hung in the tops of the elm trees for months afterwards before rotting. We fled down School Road to my grandma's house and hammered on the door. We spent the next month sleeping in a nearby cellar or with my cousins or in their neighbour's shelter until temporary repairs enabled us to use 2 rooms in our house. It cost more to repair than it cost to build. It was a terrifying time, but I think those experiences have left me with an empathy for the many refugees in the world who are suffering today. Evacuation of children was started for the second time, but the day before my school went, my aunt and uncle took me off to Starport. I went to school there with my cousin, and we were in the same class together for 9 months. In 1941, raids seemed to be over. I returned home and joined my sister at Sparkhill Commercial School. I went harvesting in the long summer holidays with the school. We camped and went out each day to do the vital gathering of the harvest because so many of the farm men were in the forces. It was a wonderful time. I loved it. And oh, the night sky. In the blackout, we saw the stars as you will never see them now. When the war was over, there were bonfires in the streets, burning the roof laths and debris which had lain around since the bombing. A lit candle in a jam jar was hung on the dark lamppost in our crescent. Rationing was severe, but oh, the elation everyone felt. Later that year, I was baptized. In 1945, I started work and went to a council department which had an excellent orchestra. I went with my violin, but discovered the joys of the double bass. We young people began to live again, going out and about. Our church youth club went on camping holidays to Revelstoke in Devon. I have never forgotten the beauty of that place. We took our ration books and fished for shrimps, climbed the cliffs and swam. At church, our social life started again. We put on concerts, plays, and went to dances and balls. We played tennis on Monday evenings at Brackley Dean in Chantry Road. Music took over my life. I played the double bass and began to get a lot of playing, so I gave up my office job. I played in a string orchestra where Gordon played violin. He demonstrated his interest by carrying my bass down three flights of stairs. We got engaged a few months later, after Gordon had played 6 weeks pantomime to afford the ring. We married in 1954. Rationing had just finished. It was a musical occasion with organ, string orchestra and choir and a brass ensemble. Gordon learned trombone after he suffered burns in an RAF crash, but he got his dexterity back for playing the violin. The brass ensemble provided an archway for us after the marriage service. Gordon was a full-time violin teacher, and I moved into teaching as well. In 1956 and 1958, we sadly lost two baby boys. But in 1959, our lovely baby Jane arrived. Then at the end of 1961, another lovely daughter, Gillian, arrived. They have been my support and comfort during these last years. I cherish memories of their early years. Early speech and development fascinated and amazed me. It was a wonderful time. As they grew, I remember the birthday parties. Summer ones in the garden for Jane, and winter parties for Gillian in our spacious front room. The pond became a sandpit and turned back into a pond when safe to do so. My sister Brenda married Mike and they had Julia, Sarah and Richard. Sadly, she became ill when Richard was two, and in the years to come they would spend part of the school holidays with us. During the long summer holiday after their visit to us, we as a foursome would travel in our little caravan to Scotland or France. We enjoyed many adventures during those holidays. In 1970, my father died. Jane was baptised and the following year Gillian was baptised. My sister's illness became worse and she died at Christmas in 1974. Her children were then aged 7, 9 and 11. It was a time of grief. Mother had lost her daughter, Mike his wife, I my sister, and Jane and Gillian their auntie. But above all, Julia, Sarah and Richard were motherless. Gordon looked after things at home, which freed me to look after the three children at their home in Kingston. Gordon was then able to bring mother, auntie and Uncle Rob, who took the service. A few years later, Jane and Gillian flew the nest. Jane finished her art degree and then bought her own flat. And Gilly finished her music degree and then entered the Anglican Contemplative Convent at Burnham Abbey. I was devastated about this, but as a result, during the next few years, found much healing over the differing circumstances surrounding the loss of our two baby boys. I have appreciated my visits to the Abbey over many years. 1984 was the year when my mother and Gordon's mother both died, just a fortnight apart. It was a sad time, but both were struggling with age. It was also the year that Jilly became Sister Agnes. The following year, Jane married Tony and became Jane Long. Now a twosome, we had no one to help us move our little caravan, so we bought a static van in a beautiful and very quiet area in Wales, the Tanat Valley in the Berwyns. This gave us respite from city life and a peep into Welsh village life. We walked, climbed and went to the village church. Our visits were short because we had to be back for Wednesdays because Gordon played violin or organ for the All Saints service and for me to take the Together meeting at the Baptist church. When Moseley Baptist amalgamated with King's Heath, Gordon decided to go back to his Anglican roots and joined All Saints. Thereafter, we enjoyed being ecumenical and visited both churches, and Gordon often played at King's Heath for the evening service, which existed at that time. I had been on churches together in Moseley for several years, and now we both joined in King's Heath, I as a Baptist, and Gordon representing All Saints. It was good to meet with the other denominations, and I rejoice that we have preferred ways to worship, but are all one in the Christian faith. I appreciated the help that I received from both our churches when Gordon became ill and died. Gordon's last years were spent playing his beloved violin or organ, or growing vegetables in our lovely productive garden. How I miss the fruit, the apples, gooseberries, blackcurrants, raspberries, herbs and more. Together Group came annually for raspberries and cream, and the pond had a sign to say, "No swimming," as a reminder not to fall in. We lived in All Saints Road for 55 years, and I had known the house from my childhood when I played in the garden there with my cousins. It was a lovely place to bring up a family, and for Jane and Gillian and their cousins and friends to play hide and seek in the bushes. They could run on the lawn, climb trees, or enjoy the swing which Gordon lovingly put up for them. Gordon had said he felt closer to God in the garden than anywhere. Gordon died in September 2013. His last months were spent together in our living room where we could see the garden. We both slept there, Gordon in his hospital bed and me on a folding bed. They were precious last weeks together. Over the years, I know I sometimes nagged him, but he was very even-tempered, and I think it was water off a duck's back. I once threw the wet dishcloth at him. He ducked. It missed. We had a good laugh together when I had to retrieve it from the floor. I have missed him very much. I spent a year thinking about life alone in our family home. Jilly found my flat in Home Peel House, with good views and good folk around me, independence but with help at hand. Jane and Tone are close by, and Jilly comes regularly from Wales. With two precious daughters, Tony and Andrea, plus nieces, nephews and cousins, I have been well blessed and thank God for it. Thank you to my church family and friends for being here today. God bless you all.